May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Do the work of God from our gospel lesson for this morning. There's a cartoon I ran across that shows a man shaking the pastor's hand at the end of the service. The man is remarking to the perplexed pastor, "I realize salvation is free, but what is the suggested donation?" In other words, he didn't think it was free. Salvation, a free gift. This has got to be one of the most befuddling teachings, befuddling teachings of the Bible. It doesn't feel right. Don't you have to be good? I mean, there's this woman I know, and all she does is gossip. She calls herself a Christian. Or this man I know, and I know he's cheating on his wife. He says he's a Christian. Or how about this other one over here who they're always slandering their neighbor? He shoplifts. She lies. Don't you have to be good? Let me ask you this. Let's suppose Jesus appeared to you. And he said, "You can ask me any question that you want, or you can ask for anything that you want." So what would you ask, or what would you ask for? Perhaps the majority would ask for something. They make a request. That's because most people think their greatest need is some material thing. I need money. Who doesn't? I need a new car. I need a house, or at least a better one. I need to be healed. Evelyn Underhill, the famous English writer, believed that we spend most of our life conjugating three verbs: to want, to have, and to do. And we miss the most significant one of them all: to be. To believe. It's not really something we do, to believe. These people who were chasing Jesus around because they had experienced this spectacular miracle when he multiplied the bread and the fish, because he fed them. That's why they were running after them. Did manage to ask the most important question I think perhaps they could have asked of Jesus. They asked, "What must we do to do the work that God requires?" What must we do to do the work of God? And Jesus had a simple, profound, and utterly astonishing answer. The work of God is this: to believe in the one he sent. Really simple, isn't it? The work of God, Jesus is telling them, is to believe in me. This is the work of God. To believe what about Jesus? First and foremost, that he's our Savior. Some might say, "Well, what do I need saving from?" If you ask this question, then you'll not understand what it means to have a Savior. You're not ready to understand it. But when you grow desperate and know that you need rescuing, then having a Savior will mean the world to you. I'll tell you where I'm at. I desperately need a Savior. I need Jesus to save me from myself. I need him to save me from the clutches of Satan. I need him to save me from being swallowed up by this world and all its temptations and distractions. I need that. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe that resonates with you. Yeah, I'm being sincere. I need Jesus as a Savior. I'm not as sure and confident as I may appear to be. And there are people I know who are not where I am. Maybe that's you. You or they may be like that unconverted Saint Augustine who declared, "Lord, save me, but not yet." Augustine's thing was his sexual immorality. He had a mistress. He had lust. He writes it in a book called Confessions. He wanted to party. Augustine would come to see that there was a greater joy to be had, that his current life was rotting him from the inside out. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he is a Savior. And also believe that Jesus is the one and only Savior. Mark Driscoll, in his book Vintage Jesus, shows us that there are many contemporary people who see Jesus as just one of many Saviors. And he lists some names here. John Lennon, you know who he was, right? "I Want to Hold Your Hand," Beatles. He wrote this, or he said this, "I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong." The lyrics were messed up, right? Yeah. Homer Simpson. For some of you, not a real person, okay? "I'm gonna die. Jesus, Allah, Buddha, I love you all." Covering all the bases, right? Mahatma Gandhi. "All paths leading to God are equally good." Oprah Winfrey. "One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there is only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God." Thank you, Prophetess Oprah. Stephen Colbert. Now you have to listen to this one because it's actually kind of funny. "And though I'm a committed Christian, I believe everyone has the right to their own religion. Be you Hindu, Jewish, or Muslim, I believe there are infinite paths to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." You know, the early service didn't get that. The IQ, you know, just... I'm just kidding. Some of them did. This is why we who believe Jesus is the only Savior get in trouble. People really get angry when you say that Jesus is the only way. Try this out if you like. Go out there and say, "Jesus is the only way," and you're going to hear rebuttals. Rebuttals. You know what also might make them angry is to say that Jesus is sinless. Nobody's perfect. All the great figures in history were flawed. That's what they'll say to you. Sinners. Flawed people. Not perfect. And they've even admitted as much. All but Jesus. In the history of the world, no one has ever claimed to be sinless, perfect, pure. That would include your works, your actions, your motivations, your thoughts. Anybody that came up and said to you, "I am sinless and holy," we could easily disprove it. You run for president, we'll find something about you, right? We'll find something. And there's things to be found. I think if we looked into your life, we would find obvious flaws, sins, scandals, maybe things, horrendous things. We go back long enough. Remember you in college? High school? We could easily disprove that you're a perfect person, except with Jesus. "Which of you convicts me of sin?" said Jesus. "If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me?" He was tempted. But nowhere does Jesus sin or repent of sin because he was without sin. He was sinless so he could redeem us. A sinful man cannot redeem another sinful man. A drowning person cannot save another drowning person right beside them. They can't do it. We needed a sinless Jesus, and he was. Unfortunately, very recent surveys here in America show that 40 to 50% of Christians believe that Jesus did sin, that he was like all the rest of us. But he didn't. A final important thing to believe about Jesus is that though he was truly a human being, he was also truly God. We should know that no other person who founded a religion ever claimed to be God except Jesus. Now, you hear people declare this, that Jesus was an incredible person, a good man, he did wonderful things, but he never thought he was God. People said that about him. No, Jesus knew he was God. He declared that he was God. And he wants us to believe that. If you miss this point about Jesus, then you don't know God at all. Here's a story of an old recluse who lived deep in the mountains of Colorado. He died, and when the relatives came out of the city to collect his valuables, they arrived finding this shack. And they entered the shack. And next to the fireplace was an old cooking pot. There was some mining equipment. There was a table that was cracked, kerosene lamp on top. And in one dark corner, there was a dilapidated cot with a threadbare sheet on it. And they thought to themselves, my goodness, he didn't have very much. So they took a couple of old relics to remember him by. And then they started to leave. And as they were leaving, here comes another old codger on a mule waving at them and saying, hey, would you mind if I could take whatever you didn't take? And they just smiled and said, of course, old guy. Just go ahead and take whatever you want. Well, the old friend entered the shack, walked directly over to the table. He reached under it and lifted one of the floorboards. He proceeded to take out all the gold his friend had discovered for the 53 years he had been mining. Enough to build a palace. The recluse died with his only friend knowing how much he was truly worth. As the friend looked out of that tiny window at the dust that the car was making as it was leaving the relatives, he said to nobody in particular, they should have got to know him better. They should have got to know him better. I say that to you. You've got to get to know Jesus better. He's the treasure. To know Jesus is to believe that Jesus is the only God, the only Savior, the sinless one. To know Jesus is the only work that God requires. And you know what will flow from this? If you believe in Jesus, good works will flow out of your life. Nobody will have to tell you to be good. You won't really need laws to beat you over the head. You will love the commands of God and of Jesus. You'll love them. And when you know him, you will know him as the one and only Savior. He's made you a part of the family of God. He's given you the free gift of eternal life. Yeah, about that freedom. What is it? The freedom he gives you is the freedom not to sin. It's the ultimate freedom that he's brought us, our Savior. When you do the work of God, you will know that you're being sent. This is what church is all about. You don't go to church. You are the church. Wherever you are, you're the church. When we do gather together, we express our joy and our thanksgiving and praise for Jesus. And we want others to witness our joy and experience it and see it among us. That's why when you come to church here, don't look drab and sour and sad. Okay? Take stock of yourself right now. You're beautiful people. Smile, because you know what? We have a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's come to be transforming our lives. So when you're not here, you know, people ought to look at you and say, what is different about that person? Why are they the way they are? Because we know Jesus as Savior, Savior and Lord, because we believe in him, it ought to transform our life. It will transform your life. And it ought to cause people to ask, why are you the way you are? Why are you the way you are? Not to pat myself on the back, I want to give you a few examples, okay? Yes, I've broken down because of my old age. I have somebody cut my lawn. And I have a hard time communicating with them because they could be speaking any language. I tried Spanish with them, and that's what they speak, you know. But it's like, it's no comprende. No comprende, you know. I tell them what I want them to do, and I think they understand. Half the time they do what I tell them to do, right? But no comprende, right? But the other day, I was out there talking to them, and I said, can you do this too, you know? And, oh, they can do anything, you know, they can do anything. And so I took them 2 ice cream cones. Yeah, they were not melted, you know, they were, you know, I took them 2 ice cream cones, there was 2 of them. And I don't know, I imagine a lot of people will do nice things for people that were, but we're Christians. We're looking for opportunities. There was a member here a long time, a sainted member. Some of you way in the back know him. Harry Asquith. He was kind of like the church's lawyer, you know. But one thing about Harry Asquith, and I've told this before, is that I don't know when his garbage day was, but whenever his garbage day was, when they would pick up his garbage, Harry had to leave. He had to get there. You know why? Because Harry had drinks for them. He had all kinds of things for them. He wouldn't miss. His funeral was something to behold, because this was Harry Asquith, a Christian in our world who was different than other people. Different than other people. Why are you like this, Harry? Because Jesus is my Lord. Christian author Max Lucado writes of enduring a bumpy airplane ride. During the flight, there was a man, during this terrible flight, he was laughing out loud. All the people were looking at him, and they were in scary, stony silence. If you've ever been in one of those planes, you know what I'm talking about. Well, what was with this man? Well, he had earbuds on, and he was listening to a comedy program that, you know, that the airplane has, right? This is what he was going. Christians attune to God's word, hearing God's word, believing in Jesus. He is Savior of the world, believing his promises. Trust God. They react differently to the things that are going on. They love people. They serve God. So I say to you this morning, do the work of God. Believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, that he set you free. Now come to him, because you can. Because he's already come to you. Come to him. He is the bread of life. So many people are hungry and thirsty, they just can't find satisfaction. But you know where the heavenly food is. It's Jesus. So many people are enslaved. Addictions, temptations, destructive compulsions. You know the ultimate freedom fighter. The great liberator of people. The Savior of the world. It's Jesus. So many people have hoped in false gods, man-made ones, lying ones. They've been deceived and disappointed. People need a true God, and you know who it is. It's Jesus, Savior of the world. God has given us answers. He's shown us the way. He's granted us a joy, an aliveness, a freedom. And it's all in Jesus. He wants you to share them with the world. You have been sent. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. 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 A big part.